All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're obviously joined by Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema. We have limited time with Coach. We're going to jump right into questions right here. Unfortunately, we don't have any mics yet, so just speak as loud as possible, and I'll try to repeat it.
Hey, Brett.
Go.
Yeah, you know, first during the recruiting process, I had actually met David when I was at Wisconsin. He came on a visit there, had a chance to be around him, know him. When I came to Arkansas, kind of began to dabble a little bit towards him, but I was recruiting LT Tenpenny in-state, Alex Collins. I knew he had a great chance at, so I really didn't go at him full throttle, but I knew he signed in the league, went to South Carolina. And then really after Raleigh's situation, I knew he was a grad transfer, didn't know exactly what we're going to do in the SEC here, so kind of reached out, and then really from that point forward, just kind of rekindled a relationship with him. Very mature, very, very talented. I knew a couple coaches on Spurrier's staff that had recruited David, so I reached out to them just to kind of see what was going on. I'll give South Carolina, Coach Muschamp, a lot of credit. They let the kid, they didn't, you know, try to block him, so they truly assisted in every way. And then for the kid in his situation, I say kid, he's a grown adult with a graduate degree or with a master undergrad degree. He's been a big hit on campus. He got in here, started summer school, made a great influence. Actually, he's spent more time with Kay Rich, my defensive player that's here, just because he hosted him when he was on his visit a little bit. But Austin and Frank, I know, have been very impressed with him as well. I have not, by NCAA rules, had a lot of time with him. Just very excited to have him in our program.
Back row on the left, please state your name and affiliation.
Justin Thomas with WBRC Fox Kids. Coach, I have a two-part question.
Okay. Yeah, with Paul, okay. Yeah, Bobby Elliott, kind of a unique story. When I went to the University of Iowa, I was a walk-on freshman. He was on staff there and was a guy that I kind of looked up to as a player. I never backpedaled or played DB in my life. But Bobby was just one of those kind of infectious guys. And then when I took over as a graduate assistant, he was on staff as an assistant as well. And then he became the defensive coordinator. And one of the things that he did for me in my career is when he became a defense coordinator, he talked Coach Fry into promoting me from a graduate assistant to full-time linebacker coach. So I worked with Bobby closely in that relationship. And then I remember to this day, we would always go jogging back in the day. We always had a noon tradition where we would take off running, and we were going into fall camp into our third year. And I went to go get E, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to pass today. I'm not feeling well." And the next day, I came down to the locker room, and he was already down there and he wasn't going to run again. And I knew something was beginning to happen. And then a week later, he shared with me that he had been diagnosed with the first wave of health conditions, which was a blood disorder, I believe, at the time. That year went on. He battled through a lot. Obviously, when the season was done, Coach Fry resigned. Bobby went into a chemotherapy treatment that was very hard and didn't know where he was going to ever come back. He battled back from that. Became a candidate to become the defensive coordinator at Kansas State. I was now the linebacker coach at Iowa under Kirk Ferentz, and he came to me and said, "Coach, Snyder would take the both of us as defensive coordinator and co-defensive coordinator." So I went to Kansas State, left Iowa, which was a hard thing to do, but went with Bobby, and that first year we led the nation in defense. And it was I was the co-defensive coordinator, and Bobby was the coordinator, and just tremendous coaching experience for me, which led to my opportunities at Wisconsin. And then he kind of battled back and forth throughout his career, a guy that I continue to stay close with, and was so excited for him in the spring to get back on the field. I talked with him a lot. We just signed a crossover contract with Notre Dame, and those originally started when Bobby and I started talking. And then obviously we all know what happened in the last 24 hours. Got a wonderful wife. He's got two beautiful kids. It's actually his daughter, Jess, is actually living in Fayetteville, so it's kind of a neat crossover thing, but a tremendous person. Great influence in my life. And then Paul Rhodes, my defense coordinator, he actually is a guy that kind of along those same lines when Bobby and I were at Iowa. Paul was at Iowa State, so we competed against him quite a bit. I got a tremendous reputation or a tremendous respect for his ability there at Iowa State. He went on to become defense coordinator at Pitt, Auburn, head coach at Iowa State. When he was a head coach at Iowa State is when I really began to get to know him really well. A couple of crossover events for head coaches. His wife Vicky and I would kind of just hit it off. We'd always end up being around each other on a social front, but also talking football. And then ironically, Paul came through to visit his son, was on Arkansas's campus, who was running track at Iowa State. And that was about 3 weeks before I lost my DB coach. So then when the DB coach left, Paul reached out to me and said, hey, I'm interested if you're interested. And after about a week on the job, I realized that I had my next defensive coordinator. However it came about, this guy's just too talented, too special. So when the transition came, when Rob left to hire Paul and bring him aboard and switch to the 3-4, it's been a very, very, very positive thing. Sorry for the long answer.
Right side on the aisle in the blue shirt.
You know, there's probably, even for a whole day dialogue, too many things that were really accounted for all of that. I think three things need to happen. First, you need to understand why they happened in 2016. I mean, they're a part of our history. You embrace it. You learn from it. You move forward. There are some things that we talked about as coaches that we really installed in our winter program as well as in the spring. And the third thing is you have to understand that in those games, you're probably talking about the last two. I'm sure that's what everybody throws a reference to. We played really well in the first half, you know. So I think the part you have to make and understand is there was two halves to every game, and when they end the way they do, everybody wants to talk about the negative. That's the way the world works today. But as a coach, you gotta find the positives and try to turn negatives into positives. So we definitely have made changes. We'll embrace it. We'll own it. We're gonna worry about how we win the second half rather than worry about how we lose it. And I think it's something that can be done, not just individually, but I think collectively, players and coaches.
Right side on the aisle. Watch it.
Yes, Scott. Good. Thank you.
Does Austin have to be great for this team to be good? Does he have to play good? Does he have to play what he needs?
You know, I think that's a great thing about playing in our offense. The quarterback needs to be really good at what we need a quarterback to do. He needs to be very smart in his pre-snap reads and alignments. He has to be great in his ball delivery, whether it's in a run game or in a throw game. And the third thing is he's got to understand he truly is the field general out there. He has to take all – whenever a guy becomes a starting quarterback in my program, we have this little meeting. I love it when we bring him in and I'll just say, okay, you're a starting quarterback here at Arkansas. Here's what you need to understand is I am never going to put you in a position that's negative, all right? If I as a head coach ever say anything negatively about a quarterback, you're going to take it as a media and run with it. If I talk about my nose guard, you're just going to – it's going to be a little sub-footnote in the article. But quarterbacks, everybody has hypersensitive awareness of who they are and what they are. I'm going to tell them I got your back. Now, on the same account, you and I share this quality as well. When we have success, we get way too much credit. And when we have failure, you're going to find way too much blame. So we kind of walk this walk together. I think Austin is very motivated to show people who he is. Here's a guy that led the SEC in several categories, played outstanding football. We lost two games at the end of the year. In the second half, it wasn't on the quarterback, you know. But the good thing is we have a chance to go into the senior year. A lot of people don't have expectations are all that high, but I think in our program they're very high. And I think the confidence level is real. It's not fabricated. We have a quarterback who's getting the ball directly from a center who, in my opinion, might be the best I've ever coached, not just at the center position, at the offensive line position. He's big. He's athletic. He runs. He's scarred in all the most appropriate ways. He's very mature. Hayden Fry learned football from Coach Broyles at Arkansas a long time ago, and one of the things that Coach Fry always used to impress upon me is on offensive football, the better you are closer to the football, the better you'll be overall. So we got a center that snaps it to a quarterback who I think is very talented. He's going to hand the ball off to a couple running backs who I think are very gifted. We got tight ends that are very talented, wide receivers that are unproven but very eager. We have six offensive linemen that have started games in the SEC. I'm very, very excited for Austin and his future.
I think we have a time for one last question. In the middle, on the camera.
Should my kid or just kids in general? Because I have a baby girl. I'm not going to recommend it to her. All right. Should your young son play football, high school football? And I think unequivocally the answer should be yes, if they're in the right environment. All right. So I'm also a coach that I've gone – and seeing the witness programs where I'm like, why are they doing that? There's things that I think that the game, we have to govern ourselves, you know, to make sure that they're in a safe environment. But the game of football can give you so much more than football. You know, I think about all the time guys that I played with, guys that I've seen coach. You know, I was fortunate enough to bring a baby girl in this world, you know, less than 48 hours ago and have 10,000 responses to a picture of my daughter I sent out. But of the replies and the feedback I got back, I heard from players from a year ago to 10 years ago to 15 years ago that talked about what we did in our time together that has carried through the years and had nothing to do about winning games. It talked about life. It talked about perseverance. It talked about becoming a man in their own life. So I think there's a lot of positives that outweigh the negatives.